Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Any collectors out there, either past or present? Not a lot of collectors, maybe a couple. When I was growing up, I would collect baseball cards and had them organized in their little container. And maybe some of you have collected sports cards. Or let's see, what other things can we collect? Pretty much anything. Could be stamps, it could be rocks, it could be coins. The list could go on and on. I heard recently about some very interesting collections that some people had, and some pretty impressive ones as well. I heard about a man in Hawaii who had 647 surfboards, all different surfboards. Imagine putting those in your backyard. Let's see, there was also the person who collected barf bags. 6,290 barf bags. Maybe that's not what you're into. Maybe you like teddy bears better. There's a lady who collected teddy bears, and she had about 7,106 different teddy bears, all different. Then there was the man who was a big fan of McDonald's. I mean, big fan of McDonald's. He liked to collect McDonald's memorabilia, and he had 75,000 different pieces of McDonald's memorabilia. That's quite a collection. Whether or not you are a collector, you've probably noticed that over the years, it can be easy for us to collect possessions. Even if you're not a stamp collector, coin collector, fill-in-the-blank collector, perhaps you've gained a few more things since when you headed off to school. I remember being able to go to seminary and put a lot of my possessions in my 91 Ford Taurus. Well, if I ever have to move to a house here in this area or anywhere else, it's going to take some truckloads. I've gathered a couple things since then, and perhaps you can relate. We end up collecting possessions. The question is it wrong to have possessions? Is it wrong to have things? No, not necessarily. But the question is, where is our focus when it comes to possessions? What do we truly value? Jesus says in Luke chapter 12, 15, "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." Now, what is the context here? Jesus has been teaching. He's been explaining various things, a whole list of topics. And right in the middle of his speaking, there's a person that comes up and wants Jesus to settle some kind of dispute that has to do with possessions. A person in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Apparently, there was some kind of dispute. Perhaps this was the younger brother in a Jewish society where the older brother really got most of the inheritance. So maybe he was a little perturbed by this and wanted Jesus to intervene when it came to possessions, wanting things to be equal and fair. But Jesus gives him a response and then gives the crowd a parable to chew on. Jesus says in verse 14 of Luke chapter 12, "Man, who made me a judge or arbitrator over you?" Jesus wasn't going to get involved. But rather, Jesus took this as an opportunity to give people a parable to chew on, which had to do with possessions. It's the parable that was read for us today, and I'd like to read it again for you. Luke chapter 12, 16. "The land of a rich man produced plentifully. And he thought to himself, 'What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops.' And he said, 'I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods, and I will say to my soul, Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God.'" This is the gospel of the Lord. Kind of a sobering gospel. Here's a man who had a bumper crop. He's doing really well. He's a financial success and things are booming. And so what does he have to do? Well, he has to build more space for his stuff because he's running out of room. Have you ever experienced that? You have items in your house and you realize that you're running out of spots for them, so you have to go vertical and you start putting shelves up. And pretty soon you say, I'm running out of shelf space. Now what do? Well, we got to outsource and find external storage. It can happen. In fact, according to a New York Times article, 1 out of 10 Americans has some kind of storage space aside from their house. Storage is one of the fastest growing segments of commercial real estate, and it has been so for the past 4 decades. According to the Self Storage Association, the SSA, there are 50,000 storage units in the United States, which is 5 times the number of Starbucks that we have. 50,000 storage spaces in the United States. And then according to the Wall Street Journal, Americans spend $1.2 trillion annually on stuff they don't need. We have a lot of possessions. In fact, there comes a point where we have run out of room for our possessions. Whether that be just acquiring things such as boats or cars and knickknacks, or maybe to some extreme, there are some who have done some hoarding and they're gathering all kinds of stuff. But we're not lacking in abundance of possessions. Now, is Jesus against possessions? Is Jesus advocating some kind of austere lifestyle of minimalism? No, not necessarily. But rather, he is pointing out that this rich man has his focus in the wrong place. He has his focus upon himself and his possessions. If you were to look at that section there, notice how often he refers to himself. I am going to do this. I am going to save this. I am going to do this. Then he even has a dialogue with himself. Soul, we're doing well. We're going to live well now. It's all about him and about the possessions that he has gathered. There is nothing about thanking the Lord for the things that he has acquired, but rather all about him and how awesome and how successful he is. His focus is on himself. And you see, possessions can feed the idolatry of self. Possessions can make us feel special, can make us feel valuable, and sometimes possessions can be used to actually show others how special and valuable we are. In Bible study, I was talking about a sultan. And maybe I'm just a little jealous here, but a sultan who had 7,000 exotic cars. 7,000. Audis and BMWs, Lamborghinis, drool. But 7,000. And I don't know how he did this, but apparently he would get haircuts that would cost him $21,000. I really don't know how you get a $21,000 haircut. Unless they massage each hair individually or something like that. But why? There comes a point where possessions can just be showing off and showing other people how awesome we are. I mean, why do you think name brands are so popular? We're giving free advertisement to different companies because we're trying to look cool because we have a certain name brand. It can happen where possessions become something that we use to fuel our own ego and our own self-gratification. But possessions themselves can become idols. If we are so focused on acquiring things, spending an exorbitant amount of time gathering them, keeping them, then where does that leave us? If we are spending so much time on the possessions that we have, to the expense of time with our Lord or time with our families, that becomes a problem. If we are working those extra 20 hours a week, not because we really need the food on the table, but because we're trying to support a certain lifestyle, and we are ragged, we are tired, and we have no time for our family or our friends, then perhaps possessions and the acquisition of them have become an idol. The first commandment, it says, you shall have no other gods. And what is your God? That in which you place your trust. Is it truly in God we trust? Or is it within the dollar upon which that is written? It can happen. And perhaps you're saying to yourself, well, frankly, I don't have a lot of possessions. I really don't. But you know what can also happen is maybe we don't have a lot of stuff. Maybe we're not doing so well financially, but we can then look at others who do have the wealth and we can become jealous and we can envy them, wishing that we had what they had. And again, where is our focus? Is it upon the Lord and His provision, or is it on the possessions of others or on our own possessions? Possessions can become idols. Also, there's a sobering ending that we have in this parable. God said to him, "Fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be?" One of two things is going to happen for us and possessions. Either possessions are going to leave us, or we are going to leave them. A while back, I told some of you about my aunt whose house caught on fire. It was due to arson. And as a result, the house was condemned. And currently, as it stands, my aunt's house, in which my father's family grew up in, is now demolished. There's nothing left. Which means all those things that my aunt had stored, some of them which were precious, are now gone. Those of you that have had a fire or firefighters know how quickly items can quickly melt and disappear, or the moths can come in and destroy your wardrobe, or that stock that you put your stock in left the market where it plunged. We had the Brexit, Britain leaving the European Union, and for some that may have affected the stock market, and perhaps it caused some financial difficulties. So, on the one hand, your stuff will eventually leave you, but eventually you and I will leave our stuff. We can try to take it with us, but it just won't work. Maybe you heard about the woman who made a promise to her husband. This particular woman had a very, very, very stingy husband. He was a very hard worker, and he saved up all his money, but he wanted every cent of his money to go with him to the grave. He made his wife promise on his deathbed that she would make sure that all of his money ended up with him in the grave. Well, she made the promise. So she's there at the funeral, and they're getting ready to put the casket in the ground, and there's this box that she has, and she puts the box inside the casket and closes the lid, and the casket is then buried. A friend of hers looks at her and says, "You didn't actually put all the money in the casket, did you? You didn't actually follow through, did you?" She said, "Well, you know, being a Christian wife, I felt that I should keep my promise to my husband. So what I did was I took all my husband's money out of his account, put it into mine, and wrote a check for my husband and put it in the casket." You can try to take it with you, but you can't take it with you. You don't see a U-Haul at the end of a hearse. The pharaohs tried and gathered all their possessions and put them in their big pyramids. But guess what? We have found the artifacts, and the pharaohs couldn't take their stuff with them. So eventually, you and I will leave our possessions to someone else. As the wise man Solomon says in our Old Testament reading for today, he says these words, "I hated all my toil in which I toil under the sun, seeing that I must leave it to the man who will come after me. And who knows whether he will be wise or a fool? Yet he will be master of all for which I toiled and used my wisdom under the sun. This is also vanity." The person who dies with the most toys still dies, and the stuff ends up at estate sales, at big garage sales at Faith Lutheran Church, at H2O, and eventually at the dump. So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. So we know that life is not found in the abundance of our possessions, right? But where is life found? Where is true life found? Well, we know the answer to that. It is found in the Scriptures. And true life is found not in the abundance of our possessions, but rather the abundance of the riches that Christ has given to you and to me. Riches that do not fade, that do not spoil. The riches of his grace and mercy and forgiveness. The riches of eternal life. As our hymn, the Rock of Ages hymn, said, "Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress, helpless look to thee for grace. Foul I to the fountain fly, wash me, Savior, or I die." We bring nothing to the table. Our possessions can't help us at all when it comes to our status before God. Apart from Christ, we would be doomed to an eternity without God. And what good do riches do without the presence of God? But Christ has redeemed you. As it says in 1 Peter 1, verse 18, "You were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot." And because of the riches in Christ that you have, the riches of eternal life, of forgiveness, salvation, we with thanksgiving pour out our gratitude to God. Even as our offertory says, "Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because he's given Jesus Christ, his Son. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich because of what the Lord has done for us." It doesn't matter how many dollars you have in your pocket or in your bank account, how many possessions you have, you are rich in Christ Jesus. And we give thanks to the Lord for every single day that we have in Christ Jesus. And because we are rich in Christ, we have the opportunity of being content in whatever circumstances. The Apostle Paul talks about this in his letter to the Philippians. As he says this in Philippians 4:11, "I have learned in whatever situation I am content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me." And I'll tell you right now that that is rich. If you can be content in whatever circumstance because you have your Savior Jesus, you are an incredibly rich person. You are so rich. And what can happen is, as we realize the riches that we have in Christ Jesus, and also the little blessings along the way, the possessions that the Lord does allow us to have, for everything is a gift from God. When we realize the riches that we have, it allows us to be rich enough to give to others. You've heard of people like Scrooge. In some ways, Scrooge might be considered rather wealthy. But in other ways, Scrooge is incredibly poor. You can have all the possessions in the world, but if you are always holding on and grabbing onto them and you're not willing to share, your life is rather poor. But remember what happened in the story of the Christmas Carol. As he let go of some of his money and Tiny Tim was blessed, the joy that Scrooge had as he saw Tiny Tim recovering. Indeed, as we are willing to share what God has given to us, there are incredible blessings that abound in ways that you might not even recognize at the time. So in Christ Jesus, we are also then rich enough to give. Jim Elliot, a missionary to the Alca Indians in Ecuador, who ended up giving his life for the sake of the gospel, said these words, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." And as we bring our offerings before the Lord, as we support missionaries, what a privilege and an opportunity to invest in the kingdom, which will not be wasted. So as we go through life, may we remember the riches that we have in Christ Jesus. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard, guide, and keep your hearts and minds in the one true faith into life everlasting. Amen.